We live in a dangerous world. And we need a president who understands the lessons of September the 11th, 2001, that to protect America, we must stay on the offense, stop attacks before they happen, and not wait to be hit again. The man we need is John McCain.
President Bush kicking off the evening speeches last night at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul, appearing via a video hookup from the White House. His words of praise for the McCain-Palin ticket were echoed by former presidential candidate Fred Thompson and independent senator, the former Democratic vice presidential candidate Joe Lieberman. We'll discuss what they all had to say. We'll welcome your views and questions, too, as we talk with Van Mobley, an associate professor of history and economics at Concordia University. He is in St. Paul as an alternate delegate to the Republican National Convention. And to toot his horn, he predicted to us, before many others even knew her name, that John McCain would put Alaska Governor Sarah Palin on the ticket. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
How did you know that?
Well, I think if you sort of look at it and reason it through, look at the other candidates, that at the end of the day, you arrive that she's the obvious choice.
Yeah. Why was she the obvious choice?
Well, she fits the profile that they're looking for, and she's extraordinarily competent and accomplished. Her one, let's talk about some of the upsides for her. She's a woman. That's good. The Republican Party is always interested in women's issues, and I'll just, you know, and there was sort of an opening for a moment there. Barack Obama had an opportunity to put a woman on the ticket with him. He didn't do that. I don't think that's necessarily because he has anything against women, but you know, you're defined by your choices, and he certainly didn't do what he could have done, and he had some nice strong women candidates, including Hillary. So there was an opportunity to show contrast. John McCain seized it. Then he sort of looked through, you know, do we have any women that would really fit on the ticket with him? And with Sarah Palin, you get executive experience. You get a governor of a state who's deeply involved in energy issues. She's a member of the NRA, pro-life. She answers the problems with a lot of constituencies within the Republican Party. And at the same time, she generates difficulties for the Democrats. You roll all that up, you look at some of the other people who were potentially on the ticket. Pawlenty is what I hear now is whenever they finally final it down and they were really holding up two candidates. They were looking at Pawlenty for the governor of Minnesota versus Palin, the governor of Alaska. I saw Pawlenty yesterday. He's a fine man. And he'd make a good president, make a good vice president. But I think in the current circumstances, Palin makes a better pick.
Yeah,
and
that's why
they went with her.
She certainly has a lot of people talking, and the base, as it's called, is really, really thrilled and excited by this choice.
Certainly is. I went to see Phyllis Schlafly last night at an event, saw her, talked to her, shook her hand, and she's certainly excited about the Sarah Palin pick, and brings in, so I said, well, this is an ironic and a curious convention, and that certainly was gratifying to me, and it shows that we get all kinds of people that are fired up and pulling on the same in the same direction. That's very good.
But in your blog, your delegate diary that was posted on wispolitics.com on Monday, I believe, you wrote, the delegation was braced for one hurricane today, Monday. Instead, it got two, saying the other hurricane was the Palin's daughter is pregnant story.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was that story, and I think the delegation, it took us by surprise, had to think about it a little bit, talk to one another, come up with, you know, what we thought. Whenever people are faced with a situation that's not really within their expectations, kind of addled them a little bit. I know that Palin, the pick itself, was a surprise. So they didn't expect that and got enthusiastic about it. And then we got a little bit of news that sort of didn't fit in with what we had expected. Had to talk about it, think about it. I think the delegation, well, I know the delegation did, came up with the right answer to that, which is, look, this is a real live person. She's got a family. Their privacy should be respected in this. These things happen.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, you know, I will say this, Joy. Barack Obama is a lot smarter than a lot of his supporters.
Why do you say that?
Because he has said, and I believe him when he says this, that it would be best if candidates' children were left alone. They're not targets.
Yeah. Is it fair, though, to question whether the McCain campaign did the proper vetting of Sarah Palin? Maybe they would have caught this and a whole lot of other things that are swirling around.
Well, I think they did vet her. Really, the question, you know, I think she has enough attractive qualities that would draw her to the pick that they knew about this ahead of time, from all accounts. You know, Senator McCain knew this when he made the pick, and he thought that it didn't outweigh the really positive factors that weighed in, on her behalf. So,
well, we'll talk more about Sarah Palin as John McCain's pick for vice president. She is going to be accepting the nomination tonight in St. Paul. We'll also talk about what President Bush, Joe Lieberman, and Fred Thompson had to say at the convention last night. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest, who is an alternate delegate to the Republican National Convention in St. Paul from Wisconsin, Van Mobley, an associate professor of history and economics at Concordia University. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, September the 3rd. Coming up after 8 o'clock, the media is abuzz with news that vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin's 17-year-old daughter is pregnant. But should the private matters of public figures be off limits? What's fair game and what's not during a political campaign and media coverage? That's the topic after 8 o'clock this morning. Then after 9 o'clock, it's a special On Point call-in with host Tom Ashbrook live from the Republican National Convention in St. Paul. Talking about the Republican National Convention with someone who is there during this hour as well, Van Mobley, Associate Professor of History and Economics at Concordia University in Wisconsin. He's a trustee in the village of Thiensville. He's in St. Paul as an alternate delegate to the Republican National Convention. And this was just announced yesterday, apparently, Professor Mobley, that John McCain and Sarah Palin will be campaigning in Wisconsin in Cedarburg on Friday, maybe their first joint appearance since the convention.
Really made a lot of buzz, made me happy, talked to my people. Those are all of them are my friends in Ozaukee County. Cedarburg's about 4 miles from Thiensville, where I live.
Yeah, it says here, Cedarburg, 10,000 people. President Bush took that county in the 2004 election, defeating Democrat John Kerry by nearly 17,200 votes. So that's going to be friendly territory for John McCain?
It certainly is. It's the heartland of the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin, that along with Washington and Waukesha counties. And it makes sense for the, you know, that's a base rallying trip. You can pretty much book it and expect it. I believe in 2004, George Bush came to Waukesha or somewhere out on the western side of Milwaukee. You can expect a presidential visit in the Milwaukee suburbs at some point in every presidential campaign to rally the base and to get them on the coming into the volunteer centers, making the phone calls. They'll be doing that in other states as well. I'm very happy that he's coming to Cedarburg, though, and I'm going to try to drive home if I can get out of here fast enough on Thursday.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about last night. We heard President Bush, you know, give his strong endorsement of John McCain during his via satellite hookup to the convention. What stood out to you with all of the speeches last night?
Well, what stood out to me is, you know, that people oftentimes talk about, or people sometimes do, and I think this is an illegitimate criticism, they say that John McCain is disorganized and he shoots from the hip. And one of the classic examples where they say that, you know, is Sarah Palin. They didn't vet her. Well, they did vet her. And then they also say, well, this convention hasn't been, you know, they've had to make changes and stuff. Well, they did make changes. But really the ability to be organized is the ability to respond to new situations. And the hurricane has thrown a monkey wrench into what they had planned for a long time for the convention. I think they've responded great. And what they've done is last night they really sort of structured the speakers in a way to appeal to different constituencies within the party and outside the party. Let me give you an example. There was always the question ahead of time of what are you going to do with George Bush? You know, how are you have to be respectful, but a McCain term is not going to be 4 or 8 more years of George Bush. It's going to be very different, so how do you handle that? Well, I think they were, in a stroke of genius, what they did is they had Laura Bush kind of bookend her husband. And so Laura talked, and then she got off the stage for a minute. George came in from D.C., and then Laura came back out there. That's an appeal to, in some ways, the traditional Republican set. And you've got to do that to keep the base I don't know if it's the base, but there's a segment within the party that you need to do that to keep engaged, even though outside the party, maybe George Bush has a lower approval rating. Then they came in with Fred Thompson. Fred Thompson clearly was appealing to sort of, we might call it the NASCAR set. He had a little bit of a populist tone. He's folksy. Did a great job appealing to the set of voters that were focused on there. And then, and small town people. And then you had Joe Lieberman come in and appeal really to independents and some Democratic, maybe crossover votes. I think it worked great. I think it shows a lot of planning and thought. So, yeah, I was pretty pleased with it.
Yeah. Here's one of the statements from Fred Thompson's speech last night in support of Sarah Palin in particular.
Some Washington pundits and media big shots are in a frenzy over the selection of a woman who is actually governed rather than just talk the good game on the Sunday talk shows and hit the Washington cocktail circuit.
So,
yeah, that's a good one. He had a lot of good ones. I must confess to you, Joy. I went to school in Tennessee. I know a lot of people in Tennessee. I supported Fred Thompson in the primaries until he got out. And so you can see just in the personal behavior of Fred Thompson and Van Mobley, the forces rallying John McCain.
Let's take some calls. Tom in Egg Harbor joins us. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
On Sarah Palin, all these other arguments and stuff are peripheral. The only reason she's on the ticket is as a sop to James Dobson and his focus on the family. They were going to sit out this election. They weren't sure about McCain. They sure as heck weren't going to go for Romney or Pawlenty as vice president. But now James Dobson's on board. And that's the only reason she was picked. Mm-hmm. And that's all I've got to say.
Is that the only reason she was picked, do you think, Van Mobley?
No, I don't think. I think that actually there are probably some factors that are equally powerful for John McCain, and maybe even more so. I can't see inside his brain, but I do know that John McCain is a reformer, and he's a maverick, and he likes people who have political courage. And Sarah Palin is a reformer and a maverick, and she has political courage, and she has taken on some of the big names, Ted Stevens and a congressman, who's a senator, a Republican senator from Alaska, Frank Murkowski, former governor. She's taken on some big Republican names that she didn't like. She didn't like their, or maybe not personally, she didn't like their spending habits. She didn't like the way they were handling government. And she's also taken on people for corruption. And I think that appeals to John McCain. I also think it appeals to the American people. She's pro-life as well. That's good, too.
Yeah, what do you make, though, of these reports that in his heart of hearts, John McCain really, really wanted to put Joe Lieberman on the ticket, but decided against it, took the advice of his advisors that was going to turn off the base and hurt him.
I believe that in his heart of hearts, John McCain always does what's best for the
country. He puts the country first. So I don't, if he picked Palin, or he did pick her, I think he did it because he thought it was the best thing for him to do right now.
Well, here's what Joe Lieberman had to say last night about the McCain-Palin ticket.
I sincerely believe that the real ticket for change this year is the McCain-Palin ticket.
So that's saying that this is the ticket for change, not Obama-Biden.
I think that's the message that certainly they want us to leave here with, and that's the message that I would leave with, and I think that's a legitimate, authentic message. There.
Let's go to Stephen Littleshoot. Hi, you're on the air.
Morning, Joey. Morning to your guests. I think that the vetting process questions that keep coming up are rather interesting, and I believe also that if the media had properly vetted Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton would be the Democrats' nominee today. There was very, very little, if any, coverage of Barack Obama's associations with Tony Rezko and the millions of dollars of favors that Obama did for Rezko that ultimately resulted in Rezko doing a $1 million favor for him. In other words, Obama's abuse of power when he was a state senator in Illinois to help his friend. Yeah. And also you have a number of different things with his associations with William Ayers and with Reverend Wright, who media knew about him about a year beforehand.
Because we're coming up on our news break, I want to. So you know about these things. So the media is covering these things.
Yeah, but not in time. They didn't do it until they did very little of it, and they did it not in time to make a difference for the Iowa primaries and things of that nature, where Clinton would have done more. And there's a lot more there than that the media knows about, but they're not letting out.
Yeah, but is there a difference, Van Mobley, in that Barack Obama has been at least exposed to the media for the past couple of years as he's been running for president, and Sarah Palin will only be on the campaign trail for a couple of months?
Well, she has a lot of experience. So, Alaska is a modern state. I mean, they have press there, too. They, we just haven't talked about her here. I don't know what to say on this one. I think all four of these people have been vetted, will be vetted. We're going to be vetted up and down and left and right, and people are going to just add it up and make their decision. So talking about the vetting process is just sort of the low grade carping that always goes on, I would say.
We're carping. No, we're talking about the Republican National Convention and what was said last night by President Bush and Joe Lieberman, Fred Thompson, also looking ahead to Sarah Palin tonight. She takes center stage, accepting the vice presidential nomination tonight. And we're welcoming your thoughts, your questions for our guest, who is at the convention, an alternate delegate from Wisconsin, Van Mobley. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I say give me a tough Alaskan governor who has taken on the political establishment in the largest state of the union and won over the Beltway business as usual crowd any day of the week.
That's former GOP presidential candidate Fred Thompson firing up the crowd yesterday at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul, heaping praise on John McCain and his running mate, Sarah Palin, Alaska Governor Sarah Palin. We are talking about what was said last night at the Republican National Convention, and talking about issues facing the McCain Palin ticket, and welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is a Wisconsin alternate delegate attending the convention, also a professor at Concordia University in Wisconsin, and he is a trustee in the village of Thiensville as well. Van Mobley, our guest, and our next caller is Chris in Palmyra. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mobley. We have heard a lot about the comparisons between Obama and McCain over the last several months. But right now, and I'm hearing a lot about the comparisons between Palin and Obama, and I guess I'd like to see more apples to apples here. I was wondering if you could give us some thoughts on a comparison between Biden and Palin. Where you think Palin has strengths that Biden doesn't. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Well, I think that's an excellent question. And I think what you're looking at there, I'll frame it as you've got a doer and you've got a talker. And the Palin is the doer. She has executive experience. Biden doesn't. They have roughly the same amount of constituents. As governor of Alaska or senator of Delaware, you're looking at probably roughly the same population base. I think with Biden, you've got somebody who's been living in the Beltway, although I will concede that he's always lived at home in Delaware and takes the train in. Okay, Joe, that's a good job, but you're to be commended for that. But he spends lunch every day talking to lobbyists and stuff.
Yeah. His foreign policy experience, though, tops hers, does it not?
Yeah, I think it does. And John McCain's foreign policy experience tops Barack Obama's.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the thought that John McCain is 72 years old and has had a couple of bouts, at least, with cancer, and that he wanted to pick a vice president that was ready on day one to assume the duties of commander-in-chief?
Sarah Palin will be ready on day one to assume the duties of commander-in-chief if she's called upon.
Yeah. What foreign policy experience will she be able to tap if that happened?
Well, the notion that a president is a superman or superwoman is false and erroneous. And what a president brings to the table is character, knowledge, general knowledge of the issues, and the ability to rally people to the flag. And the McCain-Palin administration will have top-notch people, probably from both parties, and that includes in the foreign policy establishment. And that's just the way it is. So what would happen? Well, I guess she'd rely on the people around her, and they would be at the very top of the tier, and that would include people probably from both parties and independents. So I think it would probably be a more representative administration that she would automatically sit at the top of than Barack Obama's.
So what do you think? How do you think she'll do against Biden on October the 2nd, the first and only vice presidential debate?
I think that she's going to do very well. I think that the American people will watch. They haven't made up their minds yet. I think that's a mark of wisdom. We'll let Sarah Palin talk for herself. And, I mean, you know, we'll see her tonight. And I think, you know, I'm confident and hopeful and look forward to it. And I think she'll do a great job. And I think as the campaign wears along, people will come more at ease with her, and then they're going to actually grow to really like her. And I think she's a strong, capable, confident, competent woman, and I am very pleased that she is the vice presidential pick and argued in favor of it, as you well know, Joy.
Yeah, you did. And it's interesting right now, all of our callers that are lined up to talk with you want to talk about Sarah Palin. I was listening to some coverage of the convention last night, and a lot of the analysts, it was Sarah Palin was the topic, not necessarily John McCain, though there was, well, you know, what does she bring to the ticket kind of a discussion. Are you at all concerned or that Sarah Palin is overshadowing John McCain during this convention?
No. John McCain is a strong man, and he's not afraid of a strong woman, and they make good partners. And people don't know Sarah Palin as well yet as they do John McCain, so they're going to talk about her till it catches up. By the time we have this election in November, we'll be talking about their – we won't be talking so much about them. We'll be talking about their plans for the future in the United States and where they're going to lead us. And I think that's why people are going to vote for them. So that's – you know, I'm not worried about that.
Sharon in Pulaski. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. You want to talk about Sarah Palin?
No, you don't have to talk about Sarah Palin.
Okay, well, I could. Basically, I was watching last night on C-SPAN, and there were a lot of empty seats, like up on the second tier or the first tier, you know, after the floor. And I was wondering if there were as many, I mean, is it a bigger arena? I know it's in some sort of a sports arena that there are so many empty seats. And if you watched on, like, Fox or CNN, you didn't see any of that. They didn't have any of those camera angles.
Yeah, I
you want
heard
me to explain
it,
how the...
Yeah, it wasn't...
I think that's... I'll just give you a little mechanics of a way the convention operates as far as who gets in, where they sit, that sort of thing.
Sure, go ahead.
The Wisconsin delegation, I think, is around 150. Maybe we have 150 or so tickets. I think around 30 of those or so are what we call delegate seats, and those are directly on the floor. And then we have another 30 or so, which are alternate delegate seats, and they're on the lower bowl. And then we have an allotment, I don't know, it's larger, and it's just regular guests, what they call guests. Now, I don't know about the Democratic delegation, but the Republican delegation from Wisconsin is very progressive in this, and that we try to share our credentials with all, you know, the delegates will come up and give their credentials, switch credentials with an alternate delegate. That'll allow the alternate delegate like me to go down on the floor. Then I'll come off the floor. I'll maybe go up in the top tiers where the guests are, and I'll say, is there somebody around here who wants to really go down on the floor? I'll take off my credentials, give them to them, take their credentials, sit up there or go walk around. And so there's movement constantly at the convention. It's like a huge scrum. People going up and down and mixing around on the floor. It's really fun on the floor, I should say, too, because there's you literally have representatives from all around the country down there, a lot of press. So there's always a lot of kind of motion moving back and forth. And so then if you pan across the chairs, you might say, well, there are a lot of people that are not in their seats. And the only thing I would say is, yeah, there are a lot of people who aren't in their seats, but that doesn't mean it's not full.
Yeah. You probably won't see empty chairs when they pan the seats tonight, though.
No, I think everybody will have their fanny in the seat tonight and probably on the edge of it when we're watching Sarah Palin.
Yeah. Thanks, Sharon, for the call. We're going to check our weather forecast and then two more calls for Van Mobley, Associate Professor of History and Economics at Concordia University, Wisconsin, a trustee in the village of Thiensville. He's in St. Paul as an alternate delegate to the Republican National Convention. He's also blogging and keeping a delegate diary that you can read on wispolitics.com. 1-800-642-1234, our toll-free number. If you have a thought or an observation about an issue in the presidential race or the Republican National Convention, or send an email to talk at WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, September the 3rd. Coming up, we'll talk with a guest about what's fair game in a political campaign and media coverage and what's not. Is the family of a presidential candidate off limits, as Barack Obama has said in recent days? We'll talk about what's happening in this campaign and other campaigns in the past when it comes to the ethics of media coverage of campaign issues coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, talking with Van Mobley, Associate Professor of History and Economics at Concordia University, alternate delegate at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul. Ray in New London is our next caller. Hi, Ray. You're on the air.
How you doing? Good. You did a great job on that weather forecast.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it.
Hi, Ray.
How you doing? Do you know Robert Tomash?
Yes, I do, I believe. I'm pretty sure I do. The name sounds
Ray.
Familiar.
Who is he, Ray?
It's a guy that worked at University.
There was Harold Tomich too. One of my good friends.
Harold Tomich. That's correct. I've come back to the Republican Party because of this pick. I also want to say that Sarah Palin is not running against Barack Obama. John McCain is, and the news media, the mainstream media, which is his base, Obama's base, he can't keep them in line to stay off of her family. What is that telling you about his? Does he really want them to stay off of it, or is it the fact that he just doesn't have the leadership to keep the mainstream media, which is his base, off of her family?
Now, you want me to give you what I believe to be the truth on that one?
Mm-hmm, sure.
I think political party bases are like people are going to do what they're going to do. They're like 17-year-old kids. So there's nothing that Barack Obama can do. I think he meant, and I think that he probably said a little prayer last night that the people on his side, they're trying to that they would get back to pulling his wagon instead of hitting Sarah Palin on this one.
Yeah, let me though. It was the Sarah Palin and her husband who released the statement on Monday about their daughter. The media should just not say anything about that. Then
I think the media has said enough. I mean, I think it's time to move on.
Yeah. Anyway, Ray, what did you call about?
Well, like I said, I was going to vote for the Constitution Party, but because he chose Sarah Palin, which is she's a very strong woman. It's funny how if it's the Democratic Party, if it's a woman or a minority, then that's such a great thing, but if it's the, you know, Chris Matthews with his statement, and he's saying that something about his leg with Obama, but he said that Rice was basically a token person there. She's extremely been a very good.
Ray, let me get you to talk a little bit more about why the pick of Palin is switching you from a different party.
She's like a dream candidate. I mean, for the longest time, the Republican Party has been Democrat light. I was totally disillusioned with them for their spending under Bush, and I think that we're going to get that back under control.
All right. Good, Ray. Thank you very much. Van Mobley, the party with just McCain at the head of the ticket was Democrat light, but that's all changed with Palin?
Well, no. I think John McCain is a wonderful Republican, but who has a great deal of Democratic and independent appeal. I do know that within large swaths of the traditional Republican coalition, there's been a great deal of concern about the lack of spending discipline in Washington. Sarah Palin has a record of fighting against sort of excess spending. She exerts discipline as an executive. She's a wonderful pick, and I'm glad to see that it's nice.
Yeah.
It makes me think that we're going to win when I see those people rallying to the flag like Ray, and so I'm keep it up, Ray.
What I was seeing news reports that Sarah Palin was not always against the bridge to nowhere. She was, in fact, for it for a while. And then she said that she, you know, said thanks but no thanks, and that she was against it. Was she flip-flopping on that?
I don't know. I don't know the details of that, so I'd be speculating rather than commenting from a sort of a basis of knowledge. Sorry. I've
got
limitations, boy.
Yeah, well, we're glad you're here. Linda in Blaine is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a comment just about the term maverick. I worked for someone that was considered a maverick in his field, and I found that they made decisions in a bubble. I think it's a real negative. I do think that McCain is a maverick, but I think that his choice for vice president is indicative of a maverick. They make kind of that decision in a bubble.
Was this decision made in a bubble?
I don't think it was made in a bubble. I think he listened to a lot of different people, and I think he's a shrewd man. The choice of the vice president is always a political decision. Barack Obama didn't have to pick Joe Biden. He could have picked somebody else. John McCain didn't have to pick Sarah Palin. He could have picked somebody else. I do think that the selection of a vice president does, it offers insight into a candidate's thinking. But I really do believe that if you just look at Sarah Palin and her accomplishments and McCain's political needs, then she's an excellent pick. I think she's a better pick than Biden was on a political level. But I have said, and I still believe, that Barack Obama should have picked Hillary Clinton to be on the ticket with him. And I think that it was a mistake. It was a mistake that he's going to be made to pay for, and he's already having to pay for. And, you know, you'd make your choices, and then you live with them.
Yeah. What's wrong with Biden?
Nothing. I just think that Hillary Clinton would have been a better pick. I think Joe Biden is a fine fella from all accounts. I just believe that faced with the circumstances that Obama was faced with, he would have been well served to have picked Hillary Clinton. I think that would have answered his needs in a way that's better than Biden.
Yeah, and you don't think Hillary convinced her supporters or those who might support her that the Obama-Biden ticket is the ticket for their vote?
No, I don't think she persuaded them. And I think that McCain Palin will get their fair share of that vote.
Yeah. Darren in Viroqua is with us now. Hi, Darren.
Hi. What's wrong with Biden? He's not even qualified to approach the communion rail in the Catholic Church, according to Archbishop Burke and the Pope. That's the difference between Sarah Palin and Joe Biden. Sarah Palin kept her child with Down syndrome and is encouraging her daughter to keep the child. As Phyllis Schlafly said yesterday, a Democrat would have perhaps aborted the child. That is the difference. And to say that there's nothing wrong with Biden, this is why I've long supported Ron Paul and have affinity for the Constitution Party. I'm ashamed of a Republican who can say there's nothing wrong with Joe Biden. I will be supporting John McCain, though, because it's going to be either John McCain or Barack Obama who appoints the next two, maybe four, Supreme Court justices. And John McCain is committed to reversing Roe v. Wade. And as a true Catholic, not a Biden Catholic,
yeah,
I support that.
Yeah, and you're saying that Joe Biden can't take communion because he's pro-choice, Darren?
He is pro-abortion. Yeah. He is pro-abortion rights, and there is no right to abortion under natural law.
Yeah. Well, there's what's wrong with Biden, Van Mobley.
I'm here to be a positive cheerleader for today for Sarah Palin and John McCain, and I'm not here to attack Obama and Biden. Although I will say this. The caller makes a fair comparison. It's just not one that I'm going to make today. I might make it later on.
But why don't you talk about the Palin's pro-life record and how important that is to this ticket?
Well, it's important to me. I'm pro-life. Always have been. And that there is an important constituency. I told you this morning that I spoke with Phyllis Schlafly yesterday. I wasn't kidding. So I think that there's an important constituency that includes me on the pro-life issue, and this pick speaks to that.
Yeah. Bob and Nina, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Just wondering, what if Biden is elected, not Biden, McCain is elected, what direction is the country going to go in? What's going to happen with the country?
Well, I think that we've got some themes that are emerging. He clearly is interested in reform of the process by which we spend in Washington, I think. So there's one thing. He's interested in energy policy and getting a new and a workable energy policy. You know, that's sort of the unstated thing on this this Palin pick. Is Sarah Palin is probably the most knowledgeable of all four of those candidates on energy policy. That's certainly a big issue going into this campaign. She addresses it squarely and directly. So, you know, there's an example of the change.
Right. We only have a minute to go. I don't know, a quick a prediction as to what you expect to hear from Sarah Palin tonight?
I don't know, and I think that that's why, I mean, I don't know exactly what she's going to choose to discuss, you know, and focus on. And I think that's why people are interested. They're beginning to hear about her story. They find her intriguing. But what exactly, you know, writing a speech is like picking a candidate. You can do lots of different things, and they might be all good or partially good or whatnot. But you're sort of, your character is revealed by what you choose to do. And I know I got beat up there by the constitutional fella. My character is revealed by the fact that I came on here and I did not bang up on Obama and Biden.
That's right. And we appreciate your time, and we will look for what your writings on WISPolitics.com. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
Van Mobley, Associate Professor of History and Economics at Concordia University, an alternate delegate to the Republican National Convention. Thanks to Rob Ferret and to Cynthia Schuster and to Bill Martins for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.